Well, good morning, everybody. It's kind of a head scratcher, this gospel today, the way that our Lord deals with this woman and her sick daughter. And I was kind of praying about it, and I thought, well, first of all, Jesus says he was sent for the lost children of the house of Israel. So you'd think he'd be in Israel, but he's up there in Tyre and Sidon. So I did a little map quest. That's 375 miles north in the land of Phoenicia. So Jesus, if you're here for the lost sheep of Israel to rescue them and do all this stuff, what the heck are you doing way up there 375 miles away? Of course, he was there because he had heard about this woman and her daughter who had been tormented by a demon. And so Jesus goes quite a bit out of his way. What he does for us. Jesus always goes out of his way for us. We know it. And he goes and so you'd think that Jesus, you know, would go and say, hey, I heard that your daughter is very sick and I'm here to help. But instead, what happens? The woman asks Jesus. And then Jesus gives her the silent treatment. He doesn't say anything. And maybe some of us have felt from time to time that God has given us the silent treatment. We can relate to this woman. And then she asks again with deeper faith and more determination. And this time Jesus likens her to a dog. And you think, what in the world? Like, why? Maybe because of the way that she was begging or, you know, but that's kind of offensive, Jesus, you know? And then she pleads even more. And Jesus, in this approach, is drawing out from this woman a faith, a determination, a dedication, a sense of, I will not give up, a sense of love that she probably didn't even know she had. In this approach, Jesus is drawing all this goodness out of her. And then, when the faith has been revealed, he holds it up and he says, great is your faith. Now, there's other situations like this in the reading, in the Bible. Remember, the story of Abraham came to mind. And remember Abraham? He's got his only son. He's 100 years old, and he's waited forever. He's prayed on his knees, and finally he's got a son. And God says, hey, take him up to the top of the mountain, kill him. Offer him for me. And Abraham's, what? And he does it. It's a three-day journey with Abraham and his son Isaac up the mountain. And the whole time, Abraham is thinking about how much he loves his son and what this is going to mean, and he's mourning and all these things, but he's ready to do whatever God says, which we must always be ready to do whatever God says. And then he gets to that place, right? And he's getting ready to make the sacrifice, and God says, hey, don't do it. And Abraham's probably thinking, you knew I was going to be faithful to you. You knew I was not going to say no. You knew I would do whatever you want, and yet you make me go through all this. Why'd you make me go through all this, God? That's not nice. But what God does is he draws out this faith in Abraham, a faith deeper and obedience deeper than he ever knew he had. And now we call Abraham our father in faith. Think about Job. Job lost it all. Anybody who's ever lost anybody or anything knows that begins to sense of what Job went through. And he loses all these things, but he keeps the faith. And then his own friends tell him, give up the faith. Maybe you've had friends tell you that. And he sticks with it. And of course, at the end, God rewards him all happily ever after. But it was a hard thing. And Job probably was thinking, Lord, wasn't there an easier way? Couldn't you have just doubled my stuff without me going through all that? But what God did in that is he drew out long suffering and all these virtues in Job that Job never knew he had. You know, maybe sometimes we look at our life and we think, why does God make me go through all this? There's an easier way. But in all of this stuff, in the cross, our blessed Lord is drawing out from us so much goodness that we don't even know we had it. You know, on my in my homily on the Feast of the Assumption, which was a holy day of obligation this past week, and remember how I talked about acacia wood and how the tabernacle was built with gold and acacia wood. Acacia wood doesn't disintegrate, doesn't decay, the water doesn't destroy it, the insects can't bite into it. And so it lasts forever. The tabernacle lasted for thousands and thousands of years and probably still is tucked away somewhere now. It's never been found. But it was built to last. How is that? Like, acacia wood will last longer than a steel engine. Acacia wood, they build these phones to last for a few years because then you have to buy another one, you know. But this was built to last. Maybe the reason Jesus takes this approach with this woman and in our own lives and all these other things in the Bible is because he's building us to last. He's building us to last. And there's a wisdom in the approach of Jesus. I remember when I did my grandpa's funeral. He lived in Chicago area, and that was a few years ago now that he passed on. But I remember how Grandpa was a convert, and he was kind of a reluctant convert. He only converted because my grandma, who was a very deeply devoted Polish Catholic, said she would not marry him unless he became a Catholic, which I think is beautiful. But he converted, but he wasn't, you know, into it a whole lot. He came around, you know, after about 40 years or so. I always thought he thought that I was kind of strange for becoming a priest. Or I always kind of wondered, like, what does he think about it? Because he never said, like, you know, I'm proud of you, or you're doing great, God bless you, good work, you know, all those things. And I always thought, well, he probably thinks I'm wasting my life or something, you know. But then at the assisted living facility where he was one day, I was over there by the ice cream machine. They have ice cream machines at those places. It's not that bad of a deal. And anyway, I was over there, and this woman, she says, your grandpa talks about you all the time and how proud he is that he's going to have a grandson that's a priest. And I thought, wow. I mean, I remember that. And I always thought, well, why didn't he tell me that himself? You know, why didn't he take a different approach? Well, maybe, just maybe, it's that he was building me to last. Just like God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.